Some of us grow up in the North Woods, and for others, the North Woods grows in them. This week, I'm talking to Tim Humphrey, a Cass Lake boy who figured out how to turn his love of hunting and fishing into a guide service called Aspen Outfitters.
I had started duck hunting when I was five with my grandfather and stuff. They'd put a life jacket on me and set me in the middle of the canoe and kind of pile the decoys around. And, you know, I have several memories of going in the starlit skies in the early in the morning. And then, you know, they'd put out the decoys and stuff, and I'd sit in the blind and wait. It was one of those things where I got to go if the weather was nice. If the weather wasn't nice, boy, you know.
Yeah.
It would just tear me apart because I wanted to be with them and experience that.
When I first moved into the North Woods, I thought eel pout was kind of a joke. People talked about this ugly fish. But now I find out that it is a serious fighting fish. Nothing ugly about it except its name.
When I could drive is when I really started fishing for eel pout. So when I was 16 or 17, friends would come out here. We'd go to Pike Bay. We'd go to Bemidji, whatever lake we were fishing on. And you'd fish for walleyes until dark. Well, as soon as it would get dark, the walleye bite was pretty much over. You know, you had that last half an hour of sunset, and then that was it. Well, that's when you would catch your eel pout. So we'd just, you know, why leave the lake? We're in a warm fish house. Let's stay out here for a little while longer. And we started catching eel pout. And so that just kind of transferred over to something to actually do. They're good eating, and, you know, they put up a great fight. So we started to just target those.
Tim gave college a shot, but decided he just wanted to be outside. His business emerged out of that need.
Well, just out of high school, I was a very avid grouse hunter. Every chance I'd get, I'd go out in the woods. I knew a couple from Illinois that had a place up here on the lake, and the gentleman had asked me if I'd take him out and show him some trails and kind of take him through the woods and stuff, and that he'd pay me. Well, I did that one day, and they got all their birds, him and a buddy, and they paid me pretty good, and they asked if I'd do it again the next day, if I had time. So I did, and I just kind of, you know, the light bulb turned on and everything, and I thought, hey, I can do this for, you know, a good part-time job every fall. So since then, it's expanded to bear hunting, the fishing.
He named his business Aspen Outfitters because the grouse like to hang out in the aspens. But later, he discovered that chasing a small bird around wasn't what his customers wanted. They wanted big fish and big bears.
Right now we're catching the fish in about 40 to 50 feet of water. When the fish spawn, which is in late February through the beginning of March, sometimes as late as the end of March, you'll find these fish on humps and some shallower structure, and then they'll move up and feed in the evenings. But once they actually start spawning, which is going to happen really quick, they'll move up on that structure during the daytime. And so today has been really good. We've already caught quite a few fish out here. And looking forward to the next hour or so fishing.
The eel pout may have a bad rep, but it is a big fish and good eating.
The state record is just about 20 pounds, just over 19. And a lot of them that we catch in this area, you know, average about 5 pounds, 3.5 to 5 pounds. So, yeah, you'll have, you know, anywhere from just a handful of eel pout to, you know, a couple dozen together. And they'll just kind of swarm around each other and swirl around in a big mass and do their reproduction that way.
You're listening to The Call of the Wild. This week, I'm talking to Tim Humphrey, a fishing guide from the North Woods of Minnesota. Tim pays close attention to the source of his income, the fish and the lakes they live in.
Definitely practice the conservation on them. I try to encourage everybody to put all the females back. They'll be happy with the, you know, the 5 apiece each day or the 10 for their trip. And right. Kind of regardless if it's a big male or not, I'll always let them keep the male fish. Uh-huh. Otherwise, if it's big and questionable and we can't tell, we'll let it go.
In the fall, it's the bear that attracts the hunters. I asked Tim for a bear story, and it only takes him seconds to come up with this one.
We had some video of the bear and everything, and he shot the bear twice. And gave me a phone call. I was helping another guy with his bear. And we went in to retrieve this bear. And we were under the assumption that he had made a good shot on this bear. And that the bear had been, you know, deceased. So we proceeded in, nonchalant, just kind of casual, talking, laughing and everything. And my son had his headlamp on, and he's kind of walking in front of us up to where the guy had shot the bear. And suddenly he just says, "Dad, look, a bear." And you, as soon as everybody turned their flashlights towards it, you could see the glow of the eyes of this bear. And here's a growl as the thing kind of comes charging at us. But the hunter got another shot on the bear, and it didn't go far. And that was, you know, that was one of those days where half the guys, I'm sure, had to change their underbreeches. So.
Both hunting and fishing have changed as new technologies have enhanced the keen eyes and ears of the experienced hunter or fisher.
Fishing, a lot of different things on your cell phones now. You know, so some of these little spots that were used to be in the back of somebody's mind, lining up this tree and that cabin and doing that and marking their favorite spot, now all of a sudden everybody has access to all the structure that's underneath the water. So
Tim is a full-service guide. He finds the fish, cleans the fish, and even cooks the fish, or wild game, for his customers.
Have eel pout tacos on the ice.
You're making me really hungry.
It's quite delicious. I kind of do the same thing during bear season, too, though. Well, I have a spot out in the woods where we have, it's kind of a central meeting location. So they'll come and sit by the fire with us, and we'll, you know, do venison fajitas, or, you know, maybe somebody will bring a rack of bear, you know, bear ribs out to the fire or whatever, and we'll just cook wild game and stuff every night on the fire.
Mmm. My mouth is watering for the taste of eel pout or venison fajitas. Tim tells me that he often takes another vehicle if possible so that people won't recognize him on the lake that shall remain unnamed.
Guys literally will follow me around out here, Milt. Yeah, I've had to drive off here several times in the evening with my headlights off and just use my GPS or use the moonlight to drive off the lake because they'll follow me. If I seen guys out here right now and we were coming off the lake and it was after dark, I might stop and drill holes right here and fish for 5 minutes just so they think this is where I was fishing.
Tim's clients come from all over to spend time fishing or hunting. What can I say? They get hooked, so to speak.
Yeah, I kind of live for that, you know? It's just being able to bring everybody together from so many different places across the country. And
with the Call of the Wild, I'm Milt Lee.